Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Some think ideal women have perfect hair, perfect complexions, and probably several imperfect husbands in a row. Let's forget the fashion magazines and focus on the Bible's perfect woman chapter. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on reclaiming the family as he talks with us about the mystique of motherhood. Every family needs a godly mother, a woman described in Proverbs chapter 31.
I have a Proverbs 31 mother, and I know other Proverbs 31 mothers. I married a Proverbs 31 woman. And many of you did, too. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 31 very briefly. And we're going to talk about this ideal woman. And then afterwards, we're going to also talk about God's grace and God's help in the midst of our troubled times and in the midst of our broken families. That's the agenda for the next 15 minutes or so. So keep hanging in, because we're going to end with a lot of hope. Proverbs 31. Now, you do have to understand this is a passage that has to be understood in context. This woman who had it all together, she had a wonderful husband, she had some money that she could invest, she had lovely clothes, and she lived at a time before MTV. Think of the advantage that she had. She lived at a time when young women were not starving themselves to death with various eating disorders because they were obsessed with appearance. She lived at a time when she could make the clothes rather than going to JT Maxx and trying to buy them. Did I say that wrong? I don't think I've ever been there, but I know it exists. Oh, man. Beyond Target, I'm lost. All right, folks. We're going to get into the text. We really are. Proverbs chapter 31. You'll notice that she was rightly related to her husband. Verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. Notice the heart of her husband trusts in her. She's trustworthy. He can trust her with a checkbook. He can trust her with the children. He knows that she will make wise decisions when he's not at home. He knows that she's not going to be taken in because of some schemes or because of some foolish thing that culture begins to put upon us. He can trust her. And then notice how much initiative she has. She seeks wool and flax, and she brings her food, verse 14, from afar. Why from afar? Well, obviously because it's cheaper. She's the kind of woman who will take those coupons and actually cut them out, take the time to cut them out of all things, and show them at the cash register at Dominic's. So she is one who's rightly related to her husband. She's also rightly related to her children. It says in verse 15, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. And you'll notice how she takes care of her children. It says that she makes the clothes for them. Verse 19, she puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. She's a woman who sacrifices for her children. Gets up early, the text says. She rises when it is still night. I think again of my dear mother out in the farm with a wood-burning stove. The house would get so hot during the summer when it was used. She used to get up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, bake bread, so that when we as children got up, the fire in the stove could already be put out so that it would not be too hot for us in the house during the day, all taken care of. Always thinking ahead, always sacrificing, always considering opportunities for her household. When it says in verse 18 that her lamp never goes out, it doesn't mean that she's up all night necessarily. What it means is she's always thinking of the future. To her planning, whether it's for winter or for the days ahead for school, is always on her mind, because she is a woman who really sacrifices and lays down her life for her family. Cold weather does not cause her panic. When she clothes her children in scarlet, it obviously means that she clothed them well, but I would think also that she clothed them modestly. And if she did, she would instruct her teenage daughter regarding modesty, what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate. And when the teenage daughter says, "Yeah, but everybody's doing it," she would smile and say, "You know, but we're not everybody. We're different. We can be countercultural in an age that no longer has biblical standards." So she's rightly related to her husband. She's rightly related to her children. She's rightly related to herself. I want you to notice that her self-esteem comes from her character. It says in verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Also in verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come because she's so well prepared. It's strength and dignity. If you ask her, "Why do you feel good about yourself?" it is because of what she's been able to accomplish, the kind of character that she has, the clear conscience that God has given her because of her integrity. And because of this, she has a sense of well-being. She believes that she has accomplished something when she's taken care of her household. She's rightly related, yes, to herself. She has wisdom to share. It says in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You say, well, where does she get this wisdom to teach? Well, the whole book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. If we as parents want to know what to teach our children, we could begin in Proverbs chapter 1 and then work through, because there are various themes that are taken up, themes that have to do with conduct, themes that have to do with friendships, who you run around with in school. Sometime I'm going to preach a whole message on that, the impact of an example, the impact of a positive example, and the impact of negative examples. The history of many and many a child who's gone astray can be very easily written. He chose the wrong friends. So you work through the book of Proverbs, and you can see here the wisdom that we can pass on to the next generation. This woman has that kind of wisdom. I can imagine her taking time to discuss with her teenage daughters sexual temptation, what to do when a boy harasses them in school, how to take care of herself, what to do when she's in a situation where she is tempted or where she is compromising her values. This mother, I would think, would work through those kinds of situations and help the child to know how to cope in a world that has lost its way. So she's rightly related to herself. She's also rightly related to God. It says in verse 29, "Many women have done excellently, but you have surpassed them all." And this is a verse that should be written on the mirror of every teenage girl who is listening to this message. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I cannot tell you how devastating it is to our society to have this present emphasis on fitness and beauty. Yesterday I was speaking somewhere else in the country, and in the morning, after I saw the headlines on the news, scrolling down the television stations, all of them had to do with either how fit you can be or eating the right diet and having a beach body. What is this all about anyway? Have we really come to the point where these TV shows that are absolutely devastating, the idea that you can meet someone and almost instantly you know whether or not you are meant for each other by the level of attractiveness. We're living in a society where beauty has supplanted character, and charm of some sort has taken the place of wisdom. Parents, teach your children that their value is not tied up with the exercise machine, however important that may be on its own. Even diets, which are good, but if they're done only to enhance sexual attractiveness, plastic surgery. We're living at a time when all that matters is how you look, not who you are. This is Pastor Lutzer. Yesterday, I determined that at some time in my ministry here at the Moody Church, I would like to preach a series of messages entitled The Power of Influence. And I want to do that because I think of the number of young people who have run astray because of the peer pressure that they experience in school and the kinds of things that they see every single day on television. What we discover is that young women particularly often suffer from eating disorders because of the present emphasis on physical beauty, to the detriment, the complete detriment, of a person's character or spiritual relationship with God. Parents, stand against the culture with all that you have. Take those precious children and help them to understand that their value is derived from their personhood, from their relationship with you and with God, and not from the dictates of society.
Today, Erwin Lutzer brought part two of The Mystique of Motherhood, another message on reclaiming the family. Next time on Running to Win, a return to the Bible's benchmark of beauty, inner character. Reclaiming the Family can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.